Sunday night's main event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
It's Survivor Series weekend, but for WWE talent, it's felt more like Survivor Series year. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sunday night's main event. We are Canada's wrestling radio program coming at you across the country on TSN Radio and the iHeartRadio Talk Network. My name is Jason Agnew, and yes, believe it or not, WWE has made more cuts to its ever-shrinking roster, and we'll talk about it tonight with Dave Meltzer. We'll also get the scoop on Becky Lynch getting flustered on Ariel Helwani's show and get a health update on Kenny Omega and Hulk Hogan. Then I'll welcome my longtime co-host, Dan the Mouth Lavransky, to the show to talk about the long history between CM Punk and MJF and how an undoubtable war of words began with silence. Plus, we'll preview tonight's Survivor Series event and discuss whether WWE can resist doing a screw job storyline. And speaking of Survivor Series and that screw job, we all remember that from 1997. But do you remember anything else that happened on that card? We'll test your knowledge in a throwback edition of Turnbuckle Trivia. And remember, hey, if you're looking for our Survivor Series results and recap, it is happening immediately following the pay-per-view tonight via our YouTube and Zoom broadcast. To get your access, you need to be a patron. So visit us at patreon.com/SNMEradio. Plus, for only $1 a week, you get a podcast in your inbox each and every day. It's patreon.com/SNMEradio. A break and then back with Dave Meltzer. You're listening to Sunday night's main event.
For the first time in more than a decade, WWE Monday Night Raw returns to Edmonton, January 24th at Rogers Place.
You wanna fight?
You'll see WWE Champion Big E as he joins Raw Tag Team Champions Randy Orton and Riddle.
RK-Bro!
To face Bobby Lashley, AJ Styles, and Omos. Bianca Belair challenges Becky Lynch for the Raw Women's Championship.
You will meet a red-headed devil.
And more. Tickets start at $20. Available now at Ticketmaster.
Only when light is combined with the dark is the universe perfect and complete. Like a hypnotizing drumbeat heard deep within the swampy shores, a bubbling kettle brews. She engages your spirit, sending ripples across the surface of your soul. Allow her sacred science and divine state of consciousness to unveil your contact point toward complete clarity. Cosmically grounded, she is all at once every element, fueling the nectar of your memory, drip by velvety drip. Ascending from the mist, Haze Mama breaks in balance while granting an alternative perception, otherwise unavailable, unless by virtue of her wondrous alchemy. Shh. Haze Mama New England IPA, available year-round for only $3.50. Great Lakes, brewed for you, Ontario.
It's time!
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider. With Dave Meltzer on Sunday night's main event.
Well, let's talk about the same thing we tend to talk about almost every week. It's fascinating chatting with Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter. And Dave, I'm getting to the point where I can't believe I'm saying more releases from WWE. Morrison, Top Dollar, Ashanti Adonis, Isaiah Swerve Scott, Tegan Knox, Drake Maverick, Shane Thorne, and Jackson Ryker. I guess some of those not surprises, but it's just how many people can WWE cut and still continue to keep a product on TV?
There's still plenty more. I mean, there's so many in developmental that you know, they could give up on. There's the older guys in developmental where, you know, they're still around, but they're not, you know, they're not part of, like, the new direction, which is, you know, younger guys, bigger guys, blah, 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 you know, the former indie star type guys. On the main roster, there are still people that are not being used, although it's not a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this one, like, you know, Shane Thorne, no surprise.
No.
Maverick is not really a surprise, I can't say, because I know he was the last. So, like, when we did the cuts just a couple weeks ago, there was, like, a list of guys that were considered to be cut. but didn't get cut. You know, like they had like a list, and Maverick was on that list, so I knew that he was in trouble. You know, and you could watch. You know, it's like, and he always was on the bubble. He was cut before.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Morrison was a surprise.
Yes.
And you know, I mean, the Hit Row was a big surprise.
You bet. So what's happening? Can we pause there? Because Hit Row, I mean, this to me looked like a group in NXT that was on fire, and they got hot-shotted up to the main roster and looked like they were going to be getting a big push, and then all of a sudden there's a diss track from Jinder Mahal, and then they hit the road the next week. Now, I've heard there's maybe more to this story with Top Dollar standing up for BFAB being released.
Yeah, but I don't think that has anything to do with it. The thing that I had heard, and this goes back to NXT, is, you know, I mean, there were always issues with him. You know, I mean, just people, whatever it was, I'm not around. I know what people say. I'd heard it from multiple people. It was the same on the main roster. It was just, I think that they thought he had a lot of potential because he's big and athletic. But, you know, some people just thought that he was, you know, there was a personality clash with a lot of people. And the other two guys, I think without him, maybe they just thought the other two guys, you know, they couldn't do the gimmick, taking two of the four away or something. But whatever it was, you know, that was the impetus to this. I mean, as far as, like, standing up for BFAB, I'm sure he did it. I'm sure that probably in some ways, I mean, I'm sure some people respect him for it. I'm sure others, you know, it probably added to this thing. You know, I think that the idea was that I think that he had, that they thought he was a bigger star than he was, you know, because they have that mentality that no one's a star unless they've been whatever. And he played some pro football, you know, and, you know, is a better athlete than most there. So he probably had a high level of confidence, was rushed to the main roster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, like, the other guys have been, you know, I mean, Judy Miles, which is Ashante the Adonis, I mean, he's been around for a few years, but really didn't do anything and was never really pushed in NXT until they put them in the group. I mean, the other, you know, Isaiah Swerve Scott, you know, Swerve Strickland, been around indies for years and years and years, great wrestler, but he on his own is not really their type. The gimmick was working. But yeah, I was shocked. You know, all things considered, I was shocked just because, you know, and it shows the whatever, the right hand doesn't know what the left hand's doing, because on Thursday, I believe, they were told early in the day that they're not needed for TV, which was never a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then they were told they are needed for TV. Then they were told they were not needed for TV.
Oh boy.
You know, and also they were told at some point they were going to be on Survivor Series, probably doing, you know, not wrestling, but being part of it. There was even talk of them being on Raw on Monday, and then they were fired all in the same day.
Wow.
So it's just like the messages and the everything there, it's just it's obviously very, very disorganized.
I find it weird to say I'm surprised about Jackson Ryker, but here's my thought process behind it. Here was a guy who did make controversial comments on Twitter, and the company decided to stick with them. So now releasing him is a bit of a surprise, even if he's not used, because he is a big guy. Not that he's great in the ring, but he's big, and I guess that's one of the qualifications.
Yeah, but I think guys like him, you know, when you're talking about guys, and I think this might have been the deal with Hennigan too, John Morrison, is they're trying to make the company younger. I mean, I've heard that from top people there, that they, you know, we've talked about it, that the roster is old, or was old, and they're trying to, you know, recruit lots of early 20s athletes, and so the guys in their, you know, Riker's late 30s, Morrison's early 40s, those guys, I think more than anything else, you know, even though they're both in great shape and all that, I think that the age thing was the reason, and they weren't being used. But Morrison still stuns me, because he's a very good wrestler, and, you know, even though he is 42, he's got a great body, and
he connects, Dave. I mean, look at the Johnny Drip Drip stuff. I mean, that absolutely connected with the audience that was out there.
Yeah.
A younger audience, too.
I was shocked. Maybe, you know, who knows? Is it possible that they're mad at him because of what his wife said on Twitter?
Could be.
You know, I mean, it could be. It could be that. That could be the message sent, that, like, guys, don't let your wife, you know, I mean, I don't know that that's the case. I don't know the reason he was let go, other than, you know, I was told the age thing.
Right.
You know, but like with, but I still, it was tough because he's a good wrestler, and he should land on his feet somewhere. And he's been gone from WWE before and lived a life and, you know, knows how to navigate those waters. Now, of course, when he was gone the last time, you had Lucha Underground.
Yep.
And he had a very good deal with Lucha Underground. He's one of their main guys, and that doesn't exist. There's Impact. I've got to think Impact would take him back. I don't know what their budget situation is as far as, you know, bringing in a lot of guys, but I think that they would love to have him. I think that AEW, I haven't talked to Tony Khan about him, but I think that he would be a guy. But how many guys can AEW take? That's
true.
The thing. It's like there's so many guys that were cut, and there's a lot of these guys that you can bring in, and it's a question of, like, who does he bring in and who does he not? Because, you know, you figure, you know, he'll bring in three or four guys at the last set of cuts, but who makes that three or four list? You know, does Strickland make it? You know what I mean? I don't, you know, does, you know, Morrison make it because of the age thing? I mean, Bobby Fish made it, but maybe Bobby Fish wouldn't make it today because of all the different guys. Does Keith Lee make it? You know, I don't know. Other than I'm sure that there will be several guys from these sets of cuts in AEW, but there will also probably be several sets of guys that could go that probably won't just because they're not going to take everybody.
Yeah, I mean, I am, however, if Morrison makes his way there, I'm curious to see, you know, he's been Johnny Nitro, he's been Johnny Impact, Johnny Mundo, will he be Johnny Elite? Or what type of comedy would they do there with him? Here's a couple names that I wanted to throw at you. Gargano and O'Reilly, obviously contracts are coming due rather soon, I believe, right?
Gargano's December 3rd, and O'Reilly, I don't know the date, but it's right around, yeah, it's like in a week, or it's in a couple weeks, yeah. And Kevin Owens would be in January, right? So that's yeah, those are the three big ones that we know as far as contracts go. I know that Gargano, yeah, you know, as of Thursday, I know Gargano had not signed, but they really wanted to keep him because I think that there's the feeling that he is the one familiar face in NXT, him and Ciampa. That they're, you know, I mean, I know people, you know, I mean, I think that those guys, even though they don't fit the parameters as far as the size and the age goes, the fact is that they're like kind of so associated with the brand that they do want to keep them. And also you want a couple of guys that are really, really good workers to work with these guys on the way up. And those may be the two guys that stay because of that. So I know they do want him. But the fact that he didn't sign already tells you that he's also thinking about other things. And O'Reilly, I mean, they're teasing Undisputed Era in AEW, yeah. And, you know, I mean, O'Reilly is, you know, the same situation as Adam Cole, you know, and you know, Bobby Fish in the sense that he's friends with the Young Bucks, you know, and all those guys. They go back to Japan, New Japan together. They go back to Ring of Honor together. You know, the NXT, I mean, AEW pays better than NXT anyway. He's not a guy who's going to go in the main roster. You know, he's just not, because if he was, he'd be there. Great wrestler. So I could see, you know, I could definitely see where people would push in AEW to get him in. And I would certainly, you know, if Gargano or O'Reilly wanted to come, you know, as far as an AEW goes, I would recommend both of them because AEW is a heavy wrestling product and they're both great wrestlers.
Well, let's flip over there and let's talk about Kenny Omega in particular. His health and what's happening here, shoulders and more on the mend?
Shoulder, knee. Ooh. Abdominal hernia he had. I mean, he's been working with all this stuff for months and months and months. You know, he's been in so much pain. I mean, he was on our show a couple months ago just talking about how much rehab he has to go through every week just to wrestle. And, I mean, he and I have been in discussions, like, kind of, like, take time off. And I think he didn't want to take time off as long as he was champion. And maybe he would have done it in September if he lost. But with Paige not being there, he stuck around through November. I know he wanted to do the December show in Mexico City, and, you know, he just pulled out of that on Wednesday. So, you know, that as far as the date and everything, that was still kind of in flux, I guess. But, yeah, and he's going to take time off, and he'll be back when he's back. You know, he has to get all these things taken care of, and hopefully they can, and hopefully the damage. The shoulder, I think, is the worst, but he also has told me, you know, he can work in the ring on the shoulder, you know, whatever. He can't lift weights on it very well, but he can work on it. And, you know, the match with Adam Page that he had was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he can work, you know, maybe not every night, but no one works every night, but he can do his big matches on this where he's been able to all the way through. But, yeah, he needs a rest, and he needs to get stuff fixed, and I'm glad he's doing it.
Well, and they've already set up a nice tease for Adam Cole and him to feud upon his return that they did this week. Thinking ahead there. Briefly, I just wanted to touch on Hulk Hogan. Ric Flair mentioned that Hogan's in bad health. Is this just a matter of many things getting to him for over the years?
I think so. I just remember seeing and hearing that he's not moving well at all, you know, which I'm not surprised. He's had back issues for years, you know, for a decade longer, you know, and that stuff, as you get older, you know, it's not going to get better, you know, and he's had, the last I'd heard, he'd had 11 back surgeries, so you can just imagine, and then he may have had more since then. I'm sure that that's the case, and it's a sad thing. It really is, but we're always going to have, you know, always historically, I remember going to Cauliflower Alley, and you would see the guys in their 70s, and some, you know, do real well, and some are, you know, vibrant until the end, and others are just crippled from all of their ring injuries. And, you know, the bigger the guys are, I think the harder it is on them generally. I don't know what's going to happen to this generation, but, like, you know, whenever you talk to older wrestlers, you know, from that are in their 60s now, let's say, or 70s, and they watch today's wrestling and, you know, the style that the Young Bucks kind of ushered in and those guys ushered in, and it's just like, boy, they, you know, now they are bump friendlier rings, and they aren't working as many dates, so there's that. But still, man, I watch, like, some of those pay-per-view matches, and it's just like, the standard has just gone crazy. And there is a price to pay, be paid, just like with football and everything like that. I mean, it is, you know, and fighting and just, you know, all those kind of what I would call, you know, heavy physical sports, they're going to take a toll on you later in life with a lot of people. And it's sad because Hogan's such a part of people's lives, you know, more than almost any wrestler. And to see, you know, a big, powerful guy and to see this, and it was, you know, I think it's been inevitable for the last 10 years, but now it's manifested itself and everything.
Dave, on what's coming up in the Observer next week? Obviously, Survivor Series coverage. Anything else to note?
We'll have to find out what happens in the next week. But Survivor Series coverage, hopefully some more, look at the financials. I know I've been putting that off because of other things. Maybe some more Hall of Fame stuff. I've got a couple of stories there that, Hall of Fame issues coming up in just a couple of weeks, too. And, yeah, I mean, as far as, like, fallout from Survivor Series, the beginnings of the Rumble, because that's the next pay-per-view. Yep. Although it's 2 months away, it's the next pay-per-view.
Well, we got day one.
That's right, I'm sorry.
Day one is they squeezed, instead of doing December, they're doing day one on January the 1st, a Saturday night.
That's a Nick Khan move. He felt that, you know, holiday, it doesn't matter in the sense of, if you go like, oh, is that going to be a good night for pay-per-view with all the football, although there's less football than in other years. But the fact is like they're guaranteed the money anyway. So it doesn't have to be a good night for pay-per-view. They promised them 12 specials a year, and they figured that January 1st was better than mid-December for them. And, he wanted to try January 1st. They thought that, like, you know, a lot of people go to Atlanta that weekend, it'll help with the gate. You know, ticket sales for Atlanta are not strong, but I think that they count on that being the walk-up thing where, hey, there's 350,000 people in town. What are we going to do that night?
Yeah.
Hey, there's wrestling at the, at the arena, and it's a pay-per-view. You know, that's kind of the mentality behind it. And just, you know, we know historically, holiday shows, when they're big, do very well. It's a question of how big people see the show.
We will follow it along and see how big it is going to be. And Dave, enjoy Survivor Series, and we'll talk to you next week at the same time.
Okay, have a great week.
You too. Find Dave Meltzer and all his fine work at WrestlingObserver.com. Going to take a break and a comeback. Hey, what do you remember from Survivor Series 1997? We'll find out next with Turnbuckle Trivia. Then later, Dan the Mouth Labransky joins me to chat Survivor Series, and we'll dig into some AEW as well. That's all to come. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event.
Now it cuts like a knife, but it feels so right.
If you like Dave Meltzer interview segments, you'll love WrestlingObserver.com. WrestlingObserver.com is your place for the latest pro wrestling and mixed martial arts news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. subscribers have access to hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter, plus daily podcasts, including a library of over 9,000 shows dating back to 2005. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
It's time for everyone's favorite game show.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
Go one-on-one and get it done. Sunday night's main event presents...
Everybody hands go up.
Turnbuckle Trivia.
And they stay there. And they say yeah. And they say yeah.
All right, it's Turnbuckle Trivia time here on Sunday night's main event, and we are going to take a step back in time that the WWE will not let us forget. That's an indication to the two people that are on the line that are getting ready to play. First of all, Dan from Toronto, what do you think I'm talking about?
I don't know. Something to do with the Survivor Series, I'm hoping?
Maybe. Matthew?
I'm not hoping, actually.
Well, you're not. Did you do research?
No. Well, it's all a blur.
Yes, it is. Well, Matthew, what do you? Matthew from Orangeville is on the line. Very clever on the Facebook page all the time. Matthew, what do you think you're getting today?
Well, throwback in time. WWE never lets us forget that Brett screwed Brett. So I'm assuming Survivor Series 97.
Let's
oh, good.
Go to it, gentlemen. Survivor Series 1997 is our topic. Do we remember anything else that happened? Let's find out. It is Dan versus Matthew, and the winner is going to get a t-shirt from ballergear.ca. Now, Matthew, I believe you lost in your last appearance, right?
Spectacularly.
And Dan, have you got a t-shirt yet?
No, I lost on my first appearance as well.
All right, losers, let's have one of you become a winner. Dan, you're player one. Matthew, you're player two. Let's go to it. Hey, Dan. Now, we know Survivor Series 1997 took place in Montreal in the building currently known as the Bell Center. But what was it called in 1997?
Oh, I don't remember.
It was the Molson Center at that time. That was the sponsor. Okay. Matthew, to you, what was the subtitle of the event Survivor Series 1997?
You got me. I have no idea.
It was Survivor Series Gang Rules.
Oh, that was the gang warfare era. That's right.
Guys, yeah. It was serious business, too, because Rules was spelt with a Z. Or a Z. And it's in Canada. It was spelt with a Z, not a Z.
Yeah.
Dan,
really
back
edgy,
to you.
Yeah.
One of those gangs was the motorcycle gang DOA. What do those initials stand for?
Not dead on arrival.
Oh, no, Dan. They were, of course, the Disciples of Apocalypse.
Oh, I don't know. Okay, yes.
All right, Matthew, back to you. Who did DOA face off against in a 4-on-4 elimination match at Survivor Series 1997?
I think I'm going to take a guess. It was the Puerto Rican gang, the Los Boricuas.
I 100% would have said that same thing, and that means you and I are both wrong.
Oh, beautiful.
The Truth
That's
Commission.
A good guess, though.
It's a great guess. I 100% thought that too. It was actually the Truth Commission they faced off against, though. Now, Dan.
Don Callis.
Well, I mean, yeah, and be careful what you give away. But here we go. Dan, your question. Who was the sole survivor of that match between DOA and the Truth Commission?
I'll have to go with the gift, whether that's right or wrong, is Don Callis.
Yeah, I was really sending you in the wrong direction there, Dan.
I had no clue. Obviously.
No clue?
Yeah.
The correct answer, he's a big guy. He's tall, and that means he survives. He's Kurgan the Interrogator. All right, Matthew, here we go. For our first correct answer, maybe. There was a classic Team Canada versus Team USA matchup on this card. Name the only Canadian-born member of Team Canada.
It's not who you would expect from me. I don't think it's any member of the Hart Foundation. It's an obscure...
Matthew's thinking hard.
Yeah, I know. I know, and it hurts my brain. I'm going to go against what I just said. I'm going to say Owen Hart, but I don't think it was.
You know what? That's a great guess, but it's not. It's incorrect. The correct answer is Phil LaFon.
That's right.
Wow. So the team was Phil LaFon, Doug Furness, Davey Boy Smith, and Jim Neidhart.
Okay.
That was Team Canada.
Now, with that in mind, Dan, you get a follow-up question. Team Canada faced off against Team USA. Name one of the members of Team USA.
Oh, my goodness. D'Lo Brown.
Well, no. You know what he was busy doing at that time? He was busy being on Nation of Domination, which was also a gang they had. So that's incorrect. The correct answer would have been Goldust, the American Patriot, right?
Yeah.
Mark Merrill representing the U.S., Steve Blackman, and Vader. That was Team USA.
I know nothing about this card.
No one does. Everyone has forgotten everything about this card, which is why I wanted to do everything but the main event.
Clever.
Matthew, to you, who is the sole survivor? You know the players. Who is the sole survivor in the Team Canada versus Team USA match?
Vader, because he's a big guy.
a great guess, but the correct answer was the British Bulldog. Davey Boy Smith was the sole survivor. All right, guys, no one remembers anything so far, so let's see.
I watched the event live. I remember watching it.
So did I.
A long time ago.
But I would have not remembered any of this either, because everyone remembers what happened at the end and nothing of what happened during. But Dan, you can turn that around here. Who won the Intercontinental Championship on this card?
I cannot turn this around. Uh-oh. I was in Australia at this time, so I was not watching it live.
Uh-oh. You want to take a guess?
At the time, it'll be a guess. It'll be wrong. It'll be Razor Ramon.
No, this was beyond the Razor Ramon time. This was...
Yeah, I guess.
Owen Hart walked in as the champion. And he was defeated by Stone Cold Steve Austin that card. All right, for the win, Matthew, and the T-shirt, with one question.
Oh.
Which sole survivor on this card would go on to main event December's D-Generation X In Your House pay-per-view the following month against Shawn Michaels? So Shawn Michaels runs out with the title. The next pay-per-view, who did he defend that title against?
I think that was that the Vader one? Because I remember he fought Vader at a main event.
Is that your answer?
Sure, I'll go with Vader again.
Absolutely wrong. The correct answer is Ken Shamrock.
Oh my God, Ken Shamrock.
Matthew, you worked against yourself. You already know Vader was not a sole survivor because we just gave you that answer.
I know, but I think you're wrong, though. It must have been Vader because he fought Vader, or maybe that was SummerSlam.
It was before. Vader. The feud with Vader was before. Yeah, Ken Shamrock was the answer. I flipped on by and checked that out because I had no idea, guys. Guys, I had no idea about this card, and at this point, you guys have proven that you had no idea about this card.
But Matthew has better guesses than me, so I think he should win.
He's not winning. No, Matthew is keeping this damn losing streak. It's a non-winning streak is what it is. So with that in mind, both of you will be recycled back into the pack. You will play again, and eventually there will come a triumphant time where you will both get T-shirts from ballergear.ca. But guys, that is not today.
I'm the Kurt Hawkins of SNME.
You are the Kurt Hawkins at the moment. Thank you for playing, guys. I will talk to you both very soon.
All right, thanks, Jason.
All right, guys. If you think you can do better, I got a few spots to come later this month and into next month. You can sign up at patreon.com/SNME radio, hit turnbuckle trivia, and I will get you on. I'd love to see some first timers play the game. And I think, you know what we're going to do for Dan and Matthew? The last game of 2021, we will bring them back to play the Jobbers match. And we'll see if they can both lose once again. We'll find out. We got to take a break. When we come back, hey, Dan the Mouth Lavransky will join me next to chat about Survivor Series, but we'll start on a positive note, and we'll talk about some great AEW stuff this week as well. That's to come next right here on Sunday Night's Main Event.
I'm Manny Arsenal, and I'm with Baller Gear.
Hi, I'm Chad Jeter, and I'm with Baller Gear.
I'm Ricky Collins Jr., and I'm with Baller Gear.
Baller Gear is the official home for the CG brand, 39 Sack, Root Demons, Shaq One, Manny Show, Front Happy Collections, and more. We're also the newest home for the official tees from SNME Radio. Check out the selection of tees today at ballergear.ca.
For the first time in more than a decade, WWE Monday Night Raw returns to Edmonton, January 24th at Rogers Place.
You wanna fight?
You'll see WWE Champion Big E as he joins Raw Tag Team Champions Randy Orton and Riddle.
RK-Bro!
To face Bobby Lashley, AJ Styles, and Omos. Bianca Belair challenges Becky Lynch for the Raw Women's Championship.
You will meet a red-headed devil.
And more. Tickets start at $20. Available now at Ticketmaster.
Sunday night's main event is crowdfunded. You can support the show by joining our Patreon. Just visit patreon.com/SNMEradio. patreon.com/SNMEradio.
Welcome back to Sunday night's main event. Well, it's a pay-per-view Sunday, though honestly, if you're watching WWE TV, they really didn't put a huge push onto this pay-per-view, and it should be one of the core four. It's Survivor Series tonight. Here to chat about that, my longtime co-host, Dan the Mouth Lavransky. Mouth, the worst promoted Survivor Series of all time, would you say?
It seems like the most under-promoted. I watched Raw and SmackDown this week, and I could not believe how much other stuff there was on the programs that had absolutely nothing to do with Survivor Series. And then when they are pushing it in the main angles with the teams, it's the same thing with every team.
Okay.
Like every team has dissension. It's like, it's ridiculous. I mean, I think the only match that's really captivating people is Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair because of the real life backstage stuff that we've heard about. The rest of it, honestly, like Damian Priest versus Nakamura, they did nothing to push that match.
Well, I'm going to force you to talk about all of this, but let me put you in a good mood first, all right? Lavransky, here's the deal. We had some very significant things happen on AEW this week. So let's dive in there before we get into the inevitable Survivor Series chat. And we'll start with Daniel Bryan. I mean, you were beaming on Facebook, if that's a thing, talking about how great this particular heel turn was. And now I kind of really dig the fact that if you mention WWE and AEW, you get booed.
Yes, exactly. No, it was that what they did with Daniel Bryan this week, I thought was absolutely astounding. I almost think if you're running a wrestling school, you should have that promo on deck to show your students, because this was amazing. And I love the fact that the turn was done with a promo. He didn't hit somebody with a chair. He didn't turn on somebody. Or a turn that comes out of the blue like we see so much in WWE, where the turn doesn't even make sense. This was just so clever. A few different words, a little bit more attitude. Take a shot at the crowd. And like by the end, the people were hating him. I thought it was absolutely fantastic.
Do you think it's right, though? I mean, Daniel Bryan is a guy who's still a white-hot babyface in AEW. And I mean, I feel as though this has come about because of Jon Moxley not being present, right? And this was Moxley's position. But would it have been your choice to, you know, put Daniel Bryan in this, or Bryan Danielson, that is, in this spot?
Honestly, Jay, I don't mind him being in this spot. I've seen him work heel before. I mean, not so much in WWE, but in Ring of Honor and stuff like that. And he was fantastic. I don't think it's a problem. And again, this fan base, I think, if it's done well, they're going to take what you give them. Like if you present Bryan Danielson as a heel and it's done properly, and this was certainly a great start, I think the crowds are going to get into it. I think one of the coolest things about AEW is that when they do have curveballs thrown at them, like Paige's wife's going to have a baby, or now Moxley's pulled himself out of the situation, they really seem to at least find a way to get around it and make it even sometimes more interesting than what it would have been. So I don't have a problem with it at all, and I don't think fans, I think everyone's going to love it.
I think that is the AEW story. I mean, look at all the things that they've been up against, not only competing against WWE, but how about competing against a pandemic and still having your ratings go up?
Yeah, well, and getting several of your initial talent over during that period.
Yeah.
That was the building of Orange Cassidy. That was the building of Jungle Boy. They did it all during a pandemic, which I thought was fantastic, the way they presented these guys and actually were able to turn them into strong characters despite not really having a crowd to react to.
So one of the core four homegrown talents that they are pushing is, of course, MJF, whose magic on the microphone and has had so many great feuds to this point. Well, it's come a time where he's run up against CM Punk, and they do a confrontation, and there are no words in a confrontation from perhaps the two most gifted performers on the mic in AEW. What a crazy thing to do, because it worked.
Yes. I think that's the bottom line, is it worked. And I think because of what you just said, Jay, is why it did work, because people do expect Punk to come out and get in his face and cut a promo. We've already seen him, you know, work with Eddie Kingston and that and cut some good promos. But I thought this was fantastic. And I you know, I'm a big fan of letting things grow and letting it build over time. And this is perfect. I suspect they're probably going to do this two, maybe three times, where Punk's going to come out and he's not going to say anything.
No, hard disagree on you with that one, Mouth, because this week, AEW Dynamite is happening in Chicago.
Oh,
so
okay.
This well, week right. is the week where he is going to let MJF have it on the mic. And we'll see what that ends up being. I mean, you know, I don't really condone beating down the babyface. And I, you know, I don't actually think it'll end up in a physical confrontation. I think this week Punk will make MJF look bad. And then the revenge campaign for MJF will come about as we go along. But you can bet that this is going to be a crazy hot confrontation this week on Dynamite in Chicago.
And don't forget as well, too, we also have Daniel Bryan taking on Colt Cabana.
Yep. Yep.
Also from Chicago. Have you noticed, Jay, that with that whole thing where Bryan Danielson's going to take out all of the Dark Order, they have actually set it up where each city they're in is a Dark Order member city.
No, really?
Yeah, man. Look at the schedule over the next couple of weeks and that. And it's like one time they're in Alan Angel's hometown. One time they're in Johnny Silver's hometown. Like it's insane. I couldn't believe it.
I guess that's why Evil Uno went first, because they aren't making their way to Canada as of yet.
Yeah, that's right. They can't come up here yet.
I guess Stu Grayson would also have a problem too, right? Like that's not going to work out, because Stu Grayson also, you know, Canadian.
Yeah, I'm sure they're not going to be able to do it for everybody, but the fact that they have actually set it up for three or four of them is pretty impressive.
Yeah. All right, Mouth. You ready?
Yeah, okay. I got my beer here. I'm ready.
By the way, we're taping this kind of early in the day, but that's fine. I guess it warrants it. Be careful. We got to be up late tonight, Lavransky. We got to be up late to do this thing, so don't get sleepy.
Mid-afternoon nap will save me. Don't worry.
Oh, boy. All right. It's Survivor Series tonight, friends. It's supposed to be one of the big four. I mean, that's definitely gone by the wayside. As you mentioned earlier in the conversation, Mouth, like, you know, the main problem with this is the brand split has each and every storyline being completely identical. It's all about infighting on each and every one of these teams as babyfaces and heels exist on the same team. And it's repetitive and it's boring.
It's incredibly boring. Well, I mean, and again, it's that same thing, because there's nothing really at stake. The battle for brand supremacy. What the hell does that even mean?
Yeah.
It means nothing. No one gets a trophy. No one gets to hold something over the other side. It's just complete laziness in the booking, really. And the other thing is, you just did the brand split and now you're going to do this. And it's not good. The booking is horrible. And there's nothing captivating here to make me want to see Team Raw versus Team SmackDown. Like in the end, I'm like, who cares?
Well, yeah, generally it is who cares, but can they make anything work here? I mean, how can this be anything? On one side, we got in the men's match, Rollins, Balor, Owens, Lashley, and Theory versus McIntyre, Hardy, Woods, Corbin, and And Sheamus, that's right, because Sheamus ended up winning on SmackDown this past week, which I kind of was surprised. I actually thought it was going to end up being Von Wagner in that role. Sheamus is rehashed to me, but who comes out of this? Is there a point to anyone? Is it Rollins because he's the Big E challenger on the Raw side?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's so tough because you can't really do any angles with the guys on each team because they're on different brands. So if you tried to set up a program, it's not going to work anyways. I guess you try within the teams to set up programs, and that's why there's all the dissension. I mean, I don't know. Again, to me, it doesn't matter. Okay, Rollins wins, maybe on the Raw side, fine. But you could have Drew win on
the SmackDown side,
right? Like, I don't think it matters. And if you remember, one year at Survivor Series, I believe it was Raw won the entire show, did they not?
There was something like that. Yeah, there was one year that Raw came out really strong. Also, one year, there was that wonderful year where NXT came out really strong as well. But those days are long gone.
Yeah. So it's just really hard. I mean, they're going about it the wrong way. The brand versus brand thing isn't really what you should be doing here, especially after you did the brand split just recently. Like, just, and it's, you know, and it's funny because most of the guys in these matches just got switched from one brand to the other. So the matches even wouldn't have been that different without the brand split, I think. It's just, it's ridiculous. It should be guys within each brand 5-on-5. And then that way you could set up programs. You know, that's how these matches used to be used, to set up programs between individual guys. You know, maybe there's a confrontation between Rick Rude on this side and Jake Roberts on this side, and that leads to something. Whereas here, this can't really lead to anything.
On the, it's the exact same story for the women's side of things. It's Belair, Ripley, Morgan, Carmella, Queen Zelina on Raw versus SmackDown, Banks, Baszler, Shotzi, Natalya, and Toni Storm. Seems to be a bit of emphasis put on Toni Storm, a bit of emphasis put on Liv Morgan, but also, you know, you got to look at Banks and Belair as being the two bigger stars here. So I feel as though it's another I don't care.
Well, it is basically. I mean... there seems to be a little bit of a push on Shotzi at the moment as well. But yeah, that's the thing. I mean, again, who cares? And honestly, looking at this, this is not going to be a good in-ring match, I don't think.
No. You already mentioned Damian Priest versus Nakamura. That's something that had no build. And it's hard to build these things when they don't cross brands. I mean, they did with RK-Bro and the Usos. They at least had them cross over. But Priest and Nakamura, this is... it might be an okay match.
Yeah, but again, it's like, but see, that's the problem with this, again, in terms of these singles matches, brand versus brand, title versus title. Well, nobody's going to, there's no title on the line.
Right. So automatically a champion looks bad.
Well, it just, and automatically it's not captivating because who cares? Like, honestly, who cares? Do you care if Priest over Nakamura who
no.
wins? Like, I don't. Neither do I. Like, no. You don't care. There's nothing at stake. There's no reasoning. That's the problem with this whole show, is that you have these matches and nothing's at stake. These matches are just here for the sake of, we need to do a pay-per-view this month, and here's what we've come up with.
All right, but there's no title stakes for the two main matches. However, Big E versus Roman Reigns... You know, you have Big E, who's an up-and-coming champion right now. Anyway, he is the champion, but he's an up-and-coming performer. Hard, you know, it's hard to say that because he's been around for so long. But his build right now, he's in the midst of establishing himself, is what I'm trying to say. Roman Reigns, well-established. So in this case, unless there's some sort of schmoz, Big E should not lose tonight.
I see a schmoz.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I honestly do. I don't, in this match in particular, too, because I don't, as much as, you know, there is some logic in what you say, and it would be a huge win for Big E to get this over Reigns, who's really has been hardly beaten by anyone. But I don't see them going that way. Plus, Reigns is like their strongest feud right now.
Yeah.
It's the only one keeping some of us watching, right? So honestly, I really do. I expect that, honestly, sadly to say, in a few matches, we're going to get non-finishes.
Do we see the Survivor Series 1997 screw job finish?
They sure have been teasing it, haven't they?
Yep.
Yep. And that, you know, the Sonya Deville character certainly sets it right up. It wouldn't surprise me, Jay. I mean, they're not actually in Montreal, but that has never stopped them. You know what? No, it would not surprise me, just because they have been hinting at it so much. And usually in wrestling, if, you know, much like in AEW, when they drop Okada's name five times, you know he's probably coming in.
Yeah, let's not tarnish AEW by referring to it in the same breath as Survivor Series 1997 and a screw job. Is it with the Lynch versus Charlotte match? I mean, this is the one where they're teasing real heat behind the scenes. Or there is real heat behind the scenes.
Well, that's it. I mean, well, exactly. Yeah, do you? But see, again, to me, that's another one where you have a schmoz finish because there is heat behind the scenes, and you kind of do the idea that they've lost it in the match and they just go crazy and they both get DQ'd or something.
Yeah, could happen. Well, we shall see. We shall see, Mouth. And tonight, you and I will be recapping and running this all down right when Survivor Series goes off the air. Hey, if you want to be a part of it, it's as easy as signing up to our Patreon, patreon.com/SNMEradio. Also, search SNME Radio on Facebook, and I believe the feed will be going up there as well tonight. So check it on out immediately following Survivor Series. Lavransky and I are going to be doing our thing next week here on Sunday Night's Main Event, the introduction to a new player in the Sunday Night's Main Event family. Mike McGuire will be co-hosting with me. We'll learn all about him next week here on the show. Same time, same place. It's Sunday Night's Main Event, and don't you dare miss it.